Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to worship here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. I'm not going to make all these in the bulletin this morning. You can peruse the bulletin for yourself. And we've been making these announcements for many weeks, so you can take that bulletin home also and read it again and remind yourself. Just a couple announcements that I've got. I do not know this lady. I was told that she was a member of our church, maybe way back before me, Betty M. Kapach Nisal. Does anyone know that name? Okay. She passed away on June 26, 2012. Entombment will be Monday, July the 2nd. It's being handled by, Cruz Funeral Home in Ramsey, PA. The entombment is Mount Royal Cemetery, July the 2nd at 10 a.m. So evidently she died in Clearfield, PA, so Reverend Robert Ford is handling that. So if anyone would like to see this, to get a little more information, I'll just leave it up here, and you can check on it after the service. In a little while we'll be praying, but I want to go ahead and mention this. We've been talking about it. General Assembly meets every 2 years, and Pittsburgh is hosting it this year. So they've started yesterday, and it's going to be running for a week. Is it a week? And a lot of things to discuss, and we have two of the General Assembly attendees here this morning with us, and they're on the Church Growth and Loan Investment Committee, so we welcome them today, and they've got a lot of work ahead of them, a long hour, so let's be sure we're praying for the General Assembly and also for them, and we welcome you as guests here at Glenshaw Valley this morning. Hope you felt very welcomed here this morning. And we will be praying for you all week. And I'll make sure if you'll take your red pads and sign them with the name, address, that type of information, make sure we get your names, and we'll pray for you by name during the week. I know that I will be. Any other announcements that are not in the bulletin that need to be made this morning? Carol? Women's Association meeting after church, I assume in the library. Any other? If you know, the garden is coming along. I sent out an email. They put a lot of mulch around. They're putting up the rain barrels. Not got it connected to the gutters yet, but they've got the fence posts, and they'll be doing that soon, and hopefully all that will be done very soon. And the gardeners seem to be having a good time, and 10% at least of that will be donated to the food bank. And speaking of the food bank, continue please to bring your items to the food bank and put it on the table, not be taken to the one down in Edna. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're having a very patriotic theme today for 4th of July. Hymn of Praise, number 577, Blessed the Nation. Thank you. Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom we have in America. We praise you for the eternal freedom and salvation we find in Jesus Christ. Forgive us when we take these freedoms for granted. Remind us that some things are worth dying for when we help others. The apostles sacrificed their lives to spread the good news of Jesus. Our armed forces have suffered and died to allow us to have freedom. Help us to have a true appreciation for both. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven. Let us join together this morning with other churches around our community and our General Assembly and other churches around the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not certain of someone's name, ask until you know it. Maybe you haven't seen them in a while and forgot. All right. People will think y'all a friendly congregation if y'all don't stop this. Mickey has us a nice anthem, Salute to the Armed Forces. And Cliff has graciously given me a power slide to put up. And it's from each branch of the armed forces. So when your music that you recognize comes on, if you would like to, stand up. And then when yours is over, you can sit back down if you want to. So we've got them all covered. Thank you. We thank you for your service, and I wish we could get to the point that one day we never needed you ever again. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But God bless you for serving, because we have needed you, and I'm sure we will need you and others in the future. Our responsive reading is Unity in the back of your red hymnals, 664, Unity. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion,
then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and earnest.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer and invite you to submit any prayer requests, and you can peruse the back of your bulletin and keep these persons in your prayers. A lady who attended church here some and was here at the Thanksgiving luncheon that the deacons so eloquently put on, Alita Enders, and she was one of Robin's very best friends, had just talked to her. We were on the phone for 2 hours the night before, passed away Thursday. So I'd like to keep her family in prayers. Alita Enders. A friend, and Dot Gill, who was in the hospital temporarily. I want one for Janice Wakely, who went in for surgery but is at home now, recuperating. Exactly. Yeah, Barbara found, was the one who found her and then called me, then I called Robin and some other people. But the 91-year-old father, so that's all he has. So let's be in prayer for him. Her son retired from the Navy after 21 years. Congratulations. Saw a hand. Okay. More prayer for me. Well, thank you. Workings and meetings of the General Assembly. They'll follow God's leading. That's always the most important thing. Give her retired friend Ruth and a grandson who's in the Army. Anyone else? Bill? As two of our members, choir members Lynn and Mike, were married yesterday in the backyard of between 11:30 and 12-ish. Very nice wedding. And then a couple that I married Friday night, we'll remember them in prayer also.
It's also very good to see Nancy Baldwin.
Yes, yes, welcome back. Praise the Lord. God bless. Let's go to the Lord with our prayers, and we'll have the Lord's Prayer. Remember, in Presbyterian tradition, we all say debts and debtors. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this gloriously sunshiny day, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for all the blessings that we have received within our lives. Sometimes we forget to stop and say thank you for the good things that happened to us. And we focus on the negative and remember to ask you when things are going not so well in our lives, and then we pray. Remind us to do both, to have a conversation with you every day, good times and hard times. And we'll keep the lines of communication open that way. We pray for our General Assembly that wise, proper decisions led by your Holy Spirit, not by what a man or a woman may want themselves or their own feelings or their own inclinations, but truly what the Holy Spirit prompts them to vote. That is often a very hard thing to do, but to put emotions out of the way and be led by the Spirit of God. And let our church and our officers be led the same way at all times. Lord, we lift up all these who are sick or hurting, whatever need was mentioned this morning, the persons listed in our bulletin and our Valley newsletter, for situations that were not mentioned, maybe very private, we lift them up before you. You've told us within Scripture, where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here with us today, and you hear our prayers, and you answer them according to your will, your power, your might, your glory, your love, your grace, your mercy, and we thank you for that. Because you are our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Parent, and you know what is best for us. Help us, Lord. Teach us. Guide us. And Lord, today especially, we thank you for the freedom that we have in the United States of America. Help us not to lose these freedoms, especially freedoms to assemble, freedom to worship, freedom to be who we are. Help us. And Lord, help people who have not found freedom in Jesus Christ to accept him as their Lord and their Savior, and have freedom in this life and find peace that passes all understanding, and then have the freedom for eternal glory with you and the saints forever and ever. And Lord, thank you that you came into our lives, into this world. You taught and you preached, you healed, and you left this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is God Bless America. It's on the screen. Let's bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means to the world, especially those who will accept Christ as Lord and Savior. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the gifts that you've given to the church, not for our own self-aggrandizement, not that we can look to ourselves and say, look how great we are and how wonderful and what wonderful things we have done, but that we can point others to Jesus Christ, that they might find salvation and eternal life. But Lord, thank you for every good thing that has come from above, the music that we have, the monies that are given, the time that is spent, the new garden that we have, and being able to pave the parking lot, and people that you're bringing to this fellowship. Lord, continue to bless us and help us to be a blessing to others. Lead us, Lord, guide us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and yes, even our friend. Amen. Invite Bill Mueller up again as he eloquently comes up Sunday after Sunday and reading the scripture for us.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Happy 4th of July. When I was in high school, in my wisdom and learnedness, and in college as well, I used to criticize and ridicule born-again Christians. In my senior year in college, I received a book called The Good News and was encouraged to read it. So I read it from cover to cover and began my transformation, my being born again, my becoming a babe. In that, I learned two things that we'll learn again in our scripture. One, that there is only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And two, he is always there waiting for you, no matter what you're doing and what you're sins are, to take up his yoke and walk with him in a daily walk. So please listen for your own particular message in today's scripture, Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And those who know the Son choose to reveal in him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Please bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. This long weekend, as we begin to celebrate Independence Day, I thought you might enjoy little thoughts from an unknown author. And as I put these, I realized I'd used some of these before, so some of you may remember and say, hey, I heard these somewhere before. Well, maybe right here, but happens every once in a while. Only in America, can you get a pizza to your house sometimes faster than you can get a patrol car there. Only in America, do people order 3 double cheeseburgers, 2 large fries, 2 apple turnovers, and give me a Diet Coke. Only in America do the banks leave both doors open. This kills me, and then chain the pins to the counter. All that money, but those pins, those valuable pins. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen the calls And then we have call waiting so we don't miss a call from somebody that we don't really want to talk to in the first place. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. It's conspiracy. Only in America do we use the word politics to describe the, well, poly in Latin meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. Well, maybe I'm a little harsh on politicians this morning. Nah. I think it's kind of appropriate I bring this subject up this morning since our General Assembly is meeting and discussing all kind of controversial issues. There's always something controversial. I've learned, as you know, if you saw the thing, I've been ordained officially 26 years on the 29th. So when you've been a minister for a long time, you go through a lot. And I grew up Methodist, so this kind of related to it when I read this story. It's not just a Presbyterian church that goes through controversy. They all do. We just don't always hear about what they go through. Well, the Hymnal Revision Committee of the United Methodist Church was preparing the 1988 General Conference of that denomination, and they were going to introduce a new hymnal that we're going through. The committee was struggling with the words found in the battle hymn of the Republic that we're going to sing at the end. And they weren't struggling with the battle hymn's gender-exclusive language, you might think, or they weren't struggling over its militaristic imagery that you might think that it would. They weren't even struggling with this Civil War imagery. They were struggling over the phrase, "As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free." The question, is freedom for others worth dying for? I think it's something that we as individuals have to ask ourselves, and I have to ask ourselves at times as a nation. An alternative phrase had come from Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. They had recorded a popular version of the battle hymn with the softer lyrics, "As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free," and it's the one that we have in our hymnal. It was Mr. Waring's version that was chosen by the committee to be put in the new hymnal and presented to the General Conference, and they voted, yes, that is the version that we would like put into the hymnal. But when the hymnal came out, when it was printed, that's not the version that came out. It stayed the original version. "As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free." And no one knows how it happened. As Reverend Frank Lemon said, it's the nearest mystery that the United Methodists have to the aliens of Roswell, New Mexico. In the end, Julie Ward and her group went out over Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. Perhaps that is for the best. I say that even though living for a good cause is even sometimes more difficult than dying for a good cause. But the original words cause us to ask, is there anything in my life that I value so much that I am willing to die for that cause, for that value? Am I willing to actually put my life on the line for it? As we reflect on our life of people, we see the parallel between the first century Palestine and our time. The Hebrews could look back on years of slavery when Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." In reply, Pharaoh did not say, "Sure, y'all just go on, go free. We don't need you anymore. Just do whatever you want to do. Send me a postcard from the Holy Land when you get there. Have a good time. Thanks for being here." No, Pharaoh sent the troops to bring the people back. And we know the story, they drowned in the Red Sea. But even after They entered the promised land. They struggled to possess that land. Americans celebrate July the 4th, 1776, as Independence Day. But that's not strictly true, if you think about it. Maybe we should call it our Declaration of Independence Day. Merely signing our John Hancock's on the Declaration did not establish our independence. It simply got the ball rolling. King George did not read the Declaration and then say to Thomas Jefferson, "You know, that is a really nice piece of writing. You did a swell job on that. Y'all can just have your freedom. Just send me a postcard from Colonial Williamsburg. Maybe invite me over for a nice vacation. We'll sit out on the beach and have a drink." No, it took 7 years of struggle before it happened, before the Constitution could be written. But we just gloss over that sometimes. Oh, it just happened, and here's our freedom. Have we forgotten the struggle involved in this noble experiment of democracy? Because that's really what it was and still is, if you ask me. Do we cherish this land, or do we shy away from a word like patriotism because sometimes it is co-opted by a fanatic fringe, whether it be on the right or the left, trying to steal something and make it theirs? To be patriotic is not to be blind to our country's sins and their wrongdoing. Like every nation, we have our weak points. A family of refugees was very impressed with the United States of America, and I think people should be. Especially a 6-year-old daughter who has rapidly adopted the view that everything in America was not only the best, but it was also perfect. One day a neighbor told her she was going to have a baby, so little Mary marched home and demanded to know why she couldn't have a little baby too. Well, her mother decided she better sit down and tell her the facts of life, among other things, and explain to her that it took 9 months to have a baby. 9 months, Mary just exclaimed indignantly, 9 months, but mother, aren't you forgetting? This is America. You don't have to wait 9 months. Well, even in America, some things take time. We love our country, just like we love our church, but neither are perfect. And when America is in the wrong, we need to speak up. In a principled democracy, not to speak out against wrong is actually a lack of patriotism. To be patriotic, from the Greek patris, patras, which means fatherland, is to appreciate the sacrifice of our forefathers and our foremothers, who wanted this nation to be extraordinary. And many of them gave their lives that we might be a free people, just as many people gave their lives that we might have the Christian faith. Now, it is our turn to maintain and to improve what they have passed on to us, to safeguard it. So how shall we do that? How shall we maintain and improve that which has been given to us? We need to remember where we came from. White Americans like to think that we all came from the aristocracy of Europe. Well, a few Americans may have, but most of us are descendants of those huddled masses yearning to be free that Emma Lazarus wrote about several generations ago. Her words are inscribed on our Statue of Liberty that stands proudly in the harbor of New York City, still to welcome millions of immigrants into America. In a lesson from the gospel, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are overburdened, and I will give you rest." Who can read those words without being reminded of what the Statue of Liberty stands for? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched, refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Except for our Native American friends, we're all immigrants. And we tend to forget that. We are a nation of immigrants. We trace our ancestry back to many kinds of people from many, many different lands, especially in the year 2012. Maybe that is why our tradition as a nation to welcome the stranger with kindness and compassion that goes back to the Old Testament. There's some in our land who would change all that. They would turn us into a fortress. And that's understandable in light of 9/11. Still, we need to be mindful of our history and have a sense of balance in how we do it. We will maintain and improve that which has been handed us when we remember where we came from. And we also need to remember what we stand for as a nation. Growing up in the black ghetto of Baltimore, young Thurgood Marshall was very mischievous. And he got into trouble a lot at school. So the teachers, to punish him, each time he got into trouble, kept him in detention and would make him learn by memory a part of the Constitution. Well, he got into so much trouble, he ended up learning the whole Constitution by memory. Well, one of those teachers thought, if any of them were alive, when he ended up being a lawyer and then the first African-American to be on the Supreme Court. I guess sometimes getting in trouble can be a good thing. Maybe we should have our children learn by memory the Constitution. It wouldn't hurt anyone. Wouldn't that be great if every child, every adult knew the Constitution by heart, and we would not be tricked by people who are trying to trick us by twisting words. Maybe we need to understand our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights. And then we need to understand, even more importantly, where they all came from. The Bible. Go back to the original document. Remember last year when we read through the Bible in 90 days? We need to go back and read the Bible again. Get our foundation, get our feet planted firmly, rooted in Scripture. Third, we need to remember the sacrifice that has been made in our behalf. This land is ours today because men and women have given their life's blood that we can be free. Nearly 20 years ago, Dick Abel came face to face with several prisoners of war in Vietnam. Abel was the first American whose prisoners had seen after being held captive for more than 8 years, and some of the men Abel met had been in solitary confinement for 4 years. That's a long time. Even an American prison, especially in a Vietnam prison. Later, Abel stood in awe as he heard the leader of the POW speak for a message to the free world. He simply said, "Thank you for the privilege of serving. God bless America." Can you imagine that? After being in Vietnam, fighting, being captured, treated terribly, solitary confinement for 4 years. Let's not think there are not any heroes left in the United States today. They're heroes serving right now. Heroes giving their lives today. And part of what keeps men and women going, I think especially in situations in war and being captive, I truly believe is their faith in God, their relationship, for me, with Jesus Christ. You know, this is the stuff of which our commitment as Americans to freedom, justice, and equality is made. Our faith helps us to live out our commitment to freedom because we understand that only in giving up some of our autonomy as individual citizens do we truly become free as a people, as a nation, and even as a church. In Jesus' time, oxen were linked together by means of a wooden yoke that helped them work together, work in tandem, and they could pull more and better and evenly distribute the weight. Together, they were able to pull a greater load than one can pull by itself. When we are yoked to Christ, we're better able to stand up for the things for which we believe. When we are yoked to Christ, we're better able to repay the sacrifices that have been made in our behalf. So we reflect on the meaning of Independence Day. We thank God and we thank these dedicated persons who made it possible that we are able to worship in freedom this day. Not everybody has it. And we are thankful that on the Statue of Liberty we read those words that remind us of the words of Jesus. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. God bless America. But let us never forget about the freedom that we find in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who set us free from our sins that we might have eternal life with God and all the saints forever and forever. May God bless our church. Amen. As you know, this doesn't happen every Sunday, but we've got some deacons that are coming on board today, and we're very excited about that. Willing to serve, willing to give their time, their energy. So I will call them forth at this time, Jennifer McComb and Nathaniel Enrito. I'm going to stand here to the left of me. Though we have different gifts, together we are a ministry of reconciliation led by the risen Christ. We work and pray to make his church useful in the world, and we call men and women to faith so that in the end every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Within our common ministry, some members are chosen for particular work as ministers of the word, ruling elders, or deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries, remembering that the Lord Jesus said, "Whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of all. And if he wants to be first among you, he must be the slave of all men." Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life to set others free. Jennifer and Nathaniel, God has called you by the voice of the church to serve Jesus Christ in a special way. I believe that you know who you are and what you believe, and you understand the work for which you have been chosen, and you will understand it better as you begin to serve. I ask you these questions, and if you can respond with "I do." Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of the world and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I do. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? Will you be instructed by the confessions of our church and led by them as you lead the people of God? Will you be a deacon in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture? Do you endorse our church's government? Will you honor its discipline? Will you be a friend among your comrades in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? I do and I will. Okay. Will you govern the way you live by following the Lord Jesus Christ, loving neighbors, and working for the reconciliation of the world?
I will.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, redirecting people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Yes, the congregation.
Do we, members of the church, accept Jennifer and Nathaniel, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation, to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the lead of this church?
We do.
And this time I invite any elders, whether members of our church, active or inactive, or any elders from another church here today, to come up for the service of the laying on of hands. If you two would turn and face me. Once they are ordained as deacons, they will always be a deacon. Look how many elders have served. And one from another church, and we're thankful you came up too. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, and we pray for Jennifer and Nathaniel, that you will bless them, that you've already given them the gifts that they need to be deacons. We thank you for their lives, for the ministry that lays ahead for them, for the love, for the kindness, for the mercy that you have shown to them and that they will show to others. Be with them as they work with a sense of unity with the other deacons, with the session, with the members of the church, with the community. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let them feel your presence. Let them enjoy this ministry. Lord, we thank you that you guide us, you lead us, you help all of us. Let us all work together. Let us, as a congregation, make sure that we support them in their work, that we do everything that we can to be there for them. Lord, bless them this day. Thank you for this privilege of working with them. And I know that they will understand what a privilege it is to be a deacon, how special it is to serve within the church. Lord, touch them, fill them, love them, help their families. Bless them, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Helper, our Healer, our Friend. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank
Welcome.
You. Thank you.
Welcome. God bless you. Welcome.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Thank you, everyone. Okay, our closing hymn is going to be the one we were talking about in the sermon, Battle Hymn of the Republic, with the softer version. have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dimming, flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before her judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Was I singing through that? Oh, good. Scared me there for a minute. Hope you go out and have a wonderful 4th of July picnic, so wherever you're going or sitting in the air conditioning, eating a hamburger or whatever. Be safe, and I hope you come back here next week or to the church of your choice. Worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As you go from this sanctuary, I hope that you felt safe today. I hope that you felt free. I hope that you felt loved. And go out into the world and help other people find that love and find that freedom, that mercy, and extend them the hand of forgiveness, the same forgiveness that Jesus Christ has given to you. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.